Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Mali Rajat and I'm the Chief Director for Call Services.
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Johnny Mudiwa, Chief Financial Officer for the Social Fund.
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Thando Headbush, acting as the Chief Operations Officer at the Compensation Fund.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm going to hand over to the Commissioner of the U.S. who is at the Commission.
Thank you, Chairperson. The agenda will be presenting the action plan of the compensation fund. On slide 3, it just is the background of what we started with the action plan and what necessitated for us to develop this particular action plan. If you go to the next slide, the action plan is aimed at achieving these main objectives. One, to improve service delivery performance of the fund, increasing efficiency in the financial model administration, financial management of operations, as well as restoring the reputation of the fund. When we started when we developed this action plan, the service delivery of the fund has come to a halt, and the organization is now ineffective in the way that the last delivery has been a mandate. The action plan focuses on four pillars. One is on the financial administration, which is up to the items that are in the action plan, and at the end of the presentation, we also give a highlight of how far we are in implementing the audit action plan, as we promised last time when we were presenting the SRB assessment report, that we also give an update on the audit. And also focuses on the customer focus and service delivery improvement actions that we have identified. Also on people management issues, as well as the internal business processes and administration of the fund. These are the four pillars that we've divided this particular action plan into. Now, we are now at about 87% of completion of all the activities that we had identified in the plan. We had about 29% activities on financial management. We implemented about 23 of these. On the customer focus and service delivery improvement, we had about 13 activities that we had identified. 12 of these have been completed. And in internal business process and administration, 11 of them have been completed. And when it comes to people management, we had about 64, and about 63 of these have been completed. Completed about 99 of the 114 activities that were divided into 39 projects that we had identified. Under financial administration, only four items remain in progress that have not been completed, which is the revision of the employer assessment model, as well as the loading and deduction of salaries. The objective with the assessment model was to redevelop and redefine the model that we use to classify employers. Currently, employers would fall into about 102 different categories. Industry classification that we use, and therefore the cost of the number of individual changes that employers experience from the fund, as well as some of the issues that the Auditor General has raised around the accuracy and the completeness of our revenues. We then redesigned a new model that is going to reduce the number of classes to six classes of employers. We are now, and with regard to loading and deduction, this is Section 84 of the Compensation of the COID Act, which requires us to be able to load and reduce assessment charges depending on the incident rate that happens between specific employers. because of the challenges with regard to our debtors management system, we then had to suspend the use of this particular source of the legislation and allow for the fund to be able to develop some functional service, allow us to be able to do operations. We also had among those that we led to a number of the participations that we had within our revenue as well as our bank reconciliation processes, and also clearing all the open vouchers in terms of correcting all the prior year errors that have been identified by the agency. In this slide, on the revised assessment, what we have said, we've now completed the socio-economic impact study, and we've also completed the actuarial assessment of the new models that we want. As I said, now employers with this model, we then classify employers according to six classes as opposed to the current 102 subclasses. We are now, we'll be presenting this particular model to the social partners at MedLife in March. When we finish, we actually now completed the, we are about to complete the consultations with social partners on the COIT Amendment Bill on the 27th. So as soon as that is completed, then in March, we'll then start the consultation on this particular policy of the revised assessment model. We plan to publish the policy in the form of a regulation for public comment in April 2018. And once we finish with the public comment, we will then publish the final regulation in July for implementation on 1st of April 2019. We've also looked at a number of issues that the audit agenda has raised, and we then revised our accounting policies and revenue. And we have now implemented this revised policy for the last 2 years, and that has resolved a number of the issues that we raised in finding the revenue. On the loading and introduction, as I indicated, we now removed human intervention with regards to loading and assessment of employers so that we can do away with the inaccuracies as well as the amount of fraud that is done in this area. We now use an actuarial process to determine the employers who need to increase assessment rate and those that have to use how to reduce assessment rate depending on the incident history that happens within that particular industry. Next slide. Also, the issue of discount is recorded on this previously. This is one of those issues that we achieved on the implementation of the action plan, where we were able to refund or repay all the discounts that were promised to employers that were incentivized to use the online return of earnings assessment tool in 2011 and 2013. So what had been the problem here was the fact that we promised employers with discounts, but this could not be paid to them because the fund had no functionality to be able to process the discounts. So one of the things we had in the action plan was to develop that functionality. That was done in 2015, and we paid this out in 2016. About 211 million was paid out. The objective of these incentives and discounts was to encourage employers to use the online payments. We currently have about 8% of our revenue rate using this particular online. So the incentives really work for employers to use it. We also said we needed to improve the debt collection capabilities of the fund. We had to start first by correcting the functionality that was, not working within our debt management system that led to all these incorrect interest and penalties that were related to employers. Once we completed the project of developing the functionality, we then also had to then correct all the incorrect interest and penalties that had been raised in 2011. This saw us writing off about 2.4 billion worth of the incorrect interest and penalties that had been charged to employers. Once we then developed the new functionality, then we were able to then reinstate also the provisions of Section 86 and 87 of COIT that requires us to levy interest and penalties to employers who have submit their return of earnings on time and doesn't pay their assessment on time. We had also a number of projects also that were related to correcting our data book to ensure completeness of the a number of issues around the accuracy of the debt provision that we made in the course of the incorrect deficit that we had. So we had a number of enhancement projects that we did on our accuracy system. changes has led to us now being able to accurately and correctly rate users. For example, in the implementation of the new functionality of Internet Intelligence, we have raised about 108 million worth of interest that has been paid by prior to date, and about 112 million that was penalties for late payment that we now are able to collect as a result of the improvement of this particular functionality. We also have a number of policies that we implemented and approved. The issue there was that the control environment that the fund was weak because of absence of policies and up-to-date policies that enable us to be able to put controls in place. That has been implemented. Let's go to the next slide. The next slide. The issues around the expense accounts that we had that have long outstanding reconciling items. As at end of January, we have actually been able to pay about 8% of all these reconciling items within our revenue. That was as a result of employers that pay assessments not using also we end up with these items not being able to be allocated to the correct employers. The controls around the checks for deposits that we get from employers. So we've also implemented a number of interventions to make sure that employers are not paying not using their reference code. So that also helps to resolve the issues that employers have about not being able to access letters of this spending because they've not allocated payment to their account. We also then improved all tech projects to improve the payment processes within Metruco. And this is a process that has been completed. We actually redeveloped our SAP payment module, and we are using that to make sure that we're able to deal with all the payments speedily. We also have in the next slide is clear about 2 out of the 96 million that were reconciling items that related to claims that were paid out to employers in the 2011-2012 financial year. We basically are working with the service provider that was there at the time to be able to make sure that we clear the remaining amount so that we can accurately reflect the claims in our system. I've spoken about the automation of the bank reconciliation process by making sure that we integrate SAP within the Drupal. On the next slide is the next pillar, which was the one on customer focus and service delivery improvement. Here we've finalized all the projects that we have identified. All activities in this particular area have been implemented. We go to the next slide. This is the highlight of how far we are how far we've come in implementing this. We wanted to dispense chronic medication to our clients as a pilot so that we can then in future also look at whether we cannot dispense medication to all our clients using this particular process. We appointed a service provider that is now our clients who are on chronic medication don't have to go to a pharmacy to get medication. The doctor just sends us a script and then we can facilitate for medication to be delivered to employers. Since the inception of the contract in 2016, we've paid, we've actually issued medication of about 6.9 million to all our customers who are on chronic medication. We have just over 600 of our clients. We now want to, in the next phase of this particular project, now put all our clients to get acute medication. Any person who gets discharged from hospital and requires medication for some time, we also want to then put them on this particular program, but that's the next phase of this particular project. We also, at the time, members of the call, we were in the newspapers, medical service providers, indicating that they would not deal with any of the clients of the compensation plan, people who go to hospitals and be taken away from hospitals because some medical service practitioners did not want to have dealing with the funds due to unpaid accounts. So one of the things we had in our action plan was we would engage and regularly have discussions and engagement with these particular service providers to understand their challenges and also for them to understand the issues from our side so that we can be able to start dealing with the
problem that we both have to ensure that we, the relationship is working. And these efforts have borne much fruit, and we, as you can see, I think this is just a snapshot of the number of invoices that we received from some of the political considerations that we are applying, and the amount that has been paid to the justice. We also said in the next slide we wanted to develop a return to work program. We actually finalized and developed the policies. We also have the strategy that has been approved. We actually now working on starting pilot projects on return to work program so that some of our clients who have sustained workplace injuries but are in a position to be able to be reintegrated or rehabilitated to get back into employment. We will be then running some pilot projects in April 2018 in preparation for the amendment bill. Because in the amendment bill, we're actually making rehabilitation and reintegration like one of the core service provisions that the fund will then pay for. We also wanted to establish a panel of experts on post-traumatic stress disorder, which is where we get a number of claims, particularly from the Department of Police Service, the Department of Correctional Services. We didn't have a policy or any guidance document that would allow us to be able to effectively deliver some of these claims. As a result, it then led to a number of backlogs around the claims, as well as unnecessary litigation that we had to deal with, in trying to process this claim. We, in the final stages of now, publishing the regulation that is going to drop the panel, and we will then be publishing the regulation now in the first quarter of 2018-2019 financial year. We are now presenting the particular policy to the different structures within the fund. However, in the interim, we've developed internal safety level policies that allow us to be able to deal with this claim. And we have assembled a team of doctors that we enable us to deal with this particular issue in the interim. We also wanted to restructure our jury resolution process. We have a number of complaints around the service and the many the compensation from vendors to service. We've basically restructured this. We've introduced a new modernized call center system that applies to the client. And we've actually, because of the resolution of the client series and so on, we go to the next slide, whatever. We've actually been able to reduce the number of calls that we get. Calls from about 120,000 calls a month to about 25,000 calls a month that we now get. Because of the fact that we've deployed people in the provinces and we've got the client liaison officers that then once we've saved up contact and the provincial officers to be able to deal with client queries. The next slide. In the next slide is the third pillar of the action plan, which is the internal business process. We have about four of the project initiatives that are still in progress that have been completed. One is on the issues of taking the backlog, improving the functional knowledge of the team as we recently had a lot of our functions in the province, including a lot of participants in the province to make sure that the team are able to independently work in the compensation fund claims. We also wanted to process all the open items that remain in the old subsystem that we use for operations, as well as improving hospital case management so that we can produce efficiency and make sure that our clients get the right service the first time when they go into the hospital. In the next slide, one of the things we needed to do was to realign the structure of the fund to make sure that the core business of the fund is aligned. We reported previously, for example, that the minister approved the compensation fund. We are in the process of filling the posts that are in the new structure. We have our portfolio of evidence. We have some of the colleagues that have recently been appointed as part of the structure that we realigned, where we now separated the funds into three core business units, health services, medical benefits, as well as rehabilitation. We also aligned the money in and money out part of the business with employer registration and compliance functions to get our claims with our claims unit. We also have there's an ongoing process to deal with the backlog. We in fact had about, at the time when we developed the action plan, we had about 440,000 claims also that were not in process, and we were able to deal with almost 406,000 of these claims. We only have about 21,000 or so claims that are still where liability has not been decided, or either with the patient that's engaging with clients to death and so on, or from medical practitioners where we need to get medical reports. We've also employed skilled medical and claims personnel in the labor centers that we are currently filling. We've appointed doctors in our provinces, for example, we never had medical personnel in the fund. One of the things that was making it difficult to deal with some of these claims. By end of January, just for the current financial year alone, for example, we have paid close to about 258,000 invoices that we paid for medical claims. This amounted to about 1.4 billion that we paid. This is made up of the work that claims that are submitted in the current financial year for those that would have been for prior financial year, but only receiving invoices in the current financial year. We've also processed all the open items that remained unpaid in the SAP system when we migrated to the approval. Today we paid about 2.3 million in temporary social disability payouts, but these are usually not huge sums. To clients, we've also paid about 1,066 permanent disability payouts amounting to about 21 million to our clients. I indicated that we have a team where now every office of the compensation fund is headed by every provincial office is headed by a qualified medical doctor. And we've appointed also some of the professional therapists to be able to do case management at a local level in the provinces. We wanted to also, at the time there were complaints around the innovative system that was not stable at the time. We then also had a number of projects to be able to quality assure the system so that we can identify what the gaps are from the system and implement measures to be able to close the gaps. This was done. We also wanted to have a large-scale hospital case management system. We have actually revised our specification for this particular service provider. As I indicated, we brought in new skills in the fund and they actually give it input as to how we should do it. However, in the interim, we have occupational therapists with the medical teams, workers in the labor centers that are then doing this case management work on a case-by-case basis. But we want to have a much more bigger and more effective case management process because that would then benefit the injured workers to make sure that they get the right quality health care. We also then wanted to introduce a case management system because our clients, when they are not happy with the outcome of the claim, they have the right to go to the question so that then their case can be heard by an independent panel of assessors. We were doing this manually as a result of a huge backlog in the particular area. On the 3rd of November, we introduced a case management system on SAP that then helps us to be able to manage the caseload and make sure that we're then able to arrange these hearings and make sure that none of the objections fall through the cracks. We've also been on a drive to implement a cost prevention plan because we experienced a lot of fraud, especially dealing with medical claims and so on. Some of the cases where we have to make sure that we measures in place to ensure that the fund is not subjected to any fraudulent activity. And the next slide, which is the last pillar, which is people management issues. Here also at the time, the staff morale was at an all-time low, and we had a lot of unrest because of the decentralization that had happened in the fund. And we had a lot of people management issues, hence the
service delivered at the front of the center hall. A lot of the work that we do, we do through people. We actually implemented almost all the projects. The only project that is still in progress is the one on training and development, which was the project that came out of the field audit that we did. What we do in, we at the beginning of the implementation of the action plan, we did a field audit to determine the field levels that we have in the fund and what the field steps are that we need to bridge. And now that the field audit has been finalized, we've identified the skills that we need financial skills, we need medical skills, and now we are putting our staff through various training interventions to make sure that these skills are, these gaps are bridged, as well as employing. When we employ, now we employ a lot of the people that we then have some of these skills that were lacking in the fund. We also dealing with performance management issues to make sure that we strictly implement the performance management policies to make sure that everyone does the work that they've been mandated to do. We also sought to improve communication internally to make sure that where staff have been affected by the unintended consequences of the decentralization of work, there are those communication channels that are open in the fund to make sure that they are issues, those issues are just dealt with speedily. We also did an in-depth assessment of the decentralization so that we can identify what the issues were during this particular decentralization. There's lessons learned so that when in future projects that relate to people, we don't repeat some of the same mistakes that we made that led to the unrest that we had. The last issue is the on the organization structure. As I indicated, the advisor structure was approved at the end of the last financial year. We've now started implementing this particular structure in a series of interviews on different parties within the fund to make sure that we do this post as soon as possible. The last few structures are the last few are the presentations on the set of the claim. And this particular slide just depends now on the audit action plan. We are in the process of implementing the audit action plan as well. A lot of the issues that are in the audit, particularly issues related to claims and revenue, those are things that are going to take us a bit of a longer time to resolve than in a period of 12 months, but there are projects that are currently taking place that are aimed at dealing with the population. This thing is to the CFO to briefly take us through the high-level progress of how far we are implementing the audit.
Thank you, Commissioner. The audit outcome for 2016-2017 is basically in focusing on two areas as part of the outcome from the AGF. The first part is the basis for the claim paragraph, which we are listing on this slide, with the main one being the revenue and the global from non-exchange transactions. In terms of the implementation of that, we are at 34%. To address that, we are 15% at the moment. And then the next one, benefits, where we had challenges in terms of accounting for our claims. To address that, we are 21%. That includes also the provision for spending claims, which links to the provision for spending claims, which we are trying to address, which is at 5%. The reason why that one is at 5% is because it's dependent on the year-end procedures. Normally we do the provision at the end of the year. So we came up with the year-end procedure, and we're cleaning up the data so that we can then estimate the provision accordingly for the flow that's supposed to be in the financial statement. And then the current and non-current investments related to the associated investment and associated that we have through the PLC. The issue there was that we're not considering the investments that we're making. So we basically addressing this two ways. We have developed a consolidation procedure, and we also applied for departure from the National Treasury from minister to minister to get us exempted from certain provisions of that. So the Minister of Labour has already approved that. We're just waiting for the Minister of Finance to do that. And then we had challenges with regards to payables from the Here are the details of the compilation of the prisoners in the shaded area and lack of documentation from the year-end procedures to mountain procedures and the periodic discipline that is imposed affecting us in that area. So we identify the trends in terms of implementing that. We've got a number of prior penal terrors that emanated from the prior 10 years or so. So what we've done, we came up with a plan to focus on each one of those areas, which is conservation funds, and we're basically implementing one by one. Because it's now spreading us behind in terms of clearing the audit findings from higher years. So we're definitely focusing on that as well. We are focusing on the time. So we are doing 1% in terms of that. And then contingencies related to the court orders and so on and so forth that we basically get from the legal point of view. So we came up with a case legal case management system, and then the confirmation should be based actually on a periodic basis so that we are able to disclose the contingencies. Regular expenditure, on the regular expenditure, we have to report it by the AGSA. We had in a region of about 1 billion regular expenditure. So, the push process is including the functioning of the committee to deal with regular expenditure. So that has been reduced by about 250 million. But I think in the next slide, I will indicate the reduction in terms of the expenditure. And then the employee-related costs related to the validation of the employees that we pay in the provinces especially. So we came up with this procedure and we also capacitated in the provinces to assist us to validate some of the expenditure. So we're coming up with finance capacity to address that. In the next slide, we just reiterate some of the issues that I've spoken about. The commissioner spoke about the revised assessment model that will be presented at NEDLAC. So that will be done in March. And then also to address the issues of revenue, we have just launched the e-filing on the 16th of February, and that will enable the employers to register online and also submit ROEs and so on and so forth. And that will assist us to ensure that our data group is also accurate and that address methods of relating to that income and also the revenue that we need to get from the employer. And then the figure I've spoken about in terms of regular expenditure for the 2015-16 financial year is sitting at 763 million. And then before that, it basically dropped around 1 billion. So there has been a reduction in the functioning of the various committees that we have. Fintech and Wakeful, that one we're also working on it. We have identified officials that basically are implicated in those. So all of them are actually receiving letters, and the recovery process is underway to ensure that is addressed as well. The consolidation procedures, the one I spoke about with regards to the investment. And then there's also, it wasn't advised to get the action plan talk to the root causes. To ensure that we address not only prior year errors but the current year errors. So we're meeting going forward on a weekly basis to monitor implementation. And then we also spoke about the contingencies in terms of the legal framework. And then the next paragraph that the AGSA has raised, we spoke about the disclaimer paragraph. The earlier ones I spoke about were the disclaimer paragraph. So these are also included in the audit report of the compensation fund. The first one related to restatement of prior figures, and the solution there is for us to get the year-end procedures and have the clearly discipline in terms of disclosing the figures on a quarterly basis. And then the material losses, this is also related to the court cases that we incur normally, that we have, and the controls that we are not having to prevent such court cases. So, we basically are strengthening the system administration functionality within the compensation fund, both on set and remote, so that we are both into supervision of duties, access control, and control of our system. Those are the things that we are working on. I'm not going to cover one by one, but just specific items. On the indicators, this is relating to the performance information. We have our EPP for next year, and we basically finalized that, we looked at the challenges that the Auditor General has raised with regards to our indicators and our targets not being smart and assisting. target and within the age of when we came up with. And then financial management or financial statements not in line with that. Here we came up with you know checklists, that checklist and certain checklists and so on to ensure that we align our financial statements with flow of you know with what is required in terms of our standards. And then with regards to revenue management, with the collection part of the debt here was dependent on us paying up the debt so we can make a in terms of collecting that. And then we basically beginning to invoice, including the invoicing and collection from the contract employers in terms of collection into things. And then the claims and payables management, we are at an advantage of getting the claims management system to replace the current system that we have in Ethiopia. And then consequence management, I've spoken to them that collect indicators in the issues of the financial misconduct or to the letters in the then the next slide just is further narrative. The commissioner spoke about the 2.4 billion that was the reduction of interest and penalties, and then we have been finalizing all the equities in the competition fund that is in the several indications, the equities including the cost, and then addressing the indicators and the targets that we have in the 2018-1982, and then the business management, and then roles in the claim system as well as then the next slide just a year-on-year trend of the findings, some of the findings that the compensation fund has been achieving for the last 4 years. In the 18-18 and initial term, we have 16 findings, the following year, 184, and then the following year, 141, and then now we are sitting at 89. So this is a good trend. It's taking us in the right direction to ensure eventually that the competition fund has just housing or in terms of the audit outcome.
Been some good news and the public needs to know about it. And you don't need to search the super heat chambers. All the radio stations are always looking for content. And you know that yourself, you've done one or two programs yourself. And they've been good. You've had some fantastic reports back there. I think that's the way to overcome the negativity, because there is all that negativity. I still hear people telling me almost daily that why should I plan? I'll never get anything anyway. And for that matter, I know that you've spoken to some of the hospitals and got some good results there, but the private doctors are still refusing to see patients. It's putting a lot of pressure on the hospital. They're still refusing, but they're still suffering under the misconception that they'll never get paid. So that negativity, I think, can be overcome. Just another thing as an aside, I know that I can quite ask you that there was a rather negative court case recently, and maybe you want to comment on that. And that was just on now, so I know that you said, I think you said you were going to buy that, but that was a negative one that came out. And it looks like, and I have a third point, which is your computer system seems to be now meshing. Almost there, and the two Everyone under the net. I daily come across businesses that have not registered for workman's compensation. Daily. And I'm sure you come across them often. I come across about 5 or 6 a week. And I go out to them and say, this is the cheapest insurance in the world. Why don't you register? It's madness. You're exposing yourselves and it's madness. And we need to get that message across to the business community. And I don't think you're doing a good job of that. I think the business community don't realize the benefit of actually being registered. And the benefit that they have to themselves, never mind their staff, that they're not exposed to serious litigation. I know everyone who tells me that I convince them within minutes. They've got to go and register. Never mind the laws that you have to. But there's an enormous benefit by registering. And we need that. So I think we could maybe look at some sort of rolling out an action plan to tell the business community about the benefits. Employees know the benefits. They know the benefits. But the business community doesn't, and I think they need to know it. Very seldom do I see you, and maybe Madam Chair, you can help me with when unions are negotiating with annual wages. Very seldom do I see a demand that you have to now be registered for a business compensation. They know they don't. Employees keep quiet until they get injured. Demanding that it's flawed. They should be demanding, maybe you could go out there and do that. Just to go to page 6, number 11, includes gold payment processes. I'm still getting some queries from people who are saying that they're having problems. The registry not getting this done. Maybe you can comment on it. Difficult for a slain and someone says they're suffering from stress. It's not easy to buy. It's not like a dozen left. I'm not sure. I have a suspicion that maybe it became a very big sport in 94 when we changed over to the federal government. A lot of the police claimed their pensions and whatever. They were running for the hills. I think there might be a bit of sport over here where people are slain and this thing. It's a real problem. I like the idea of your collecting the meds and actually sending it out. There's still an issue out there where many staff are using up all their sick leave to get their meds. That's how serious it is for their patients and medication. It's become a real problem. I mean, for instance, if I had epilepsy, I'd have to go once a month to get my meds. I'd take the day off, and then I use all my sick leave for that. And that's not your problem because epilepsy is not normally caused by an accident. But what you're doing is maybe you could roll out a system to help out the entire business community. So I think this is fantastic if you're doing it. Now, I'm not sure How are you getting around the pharmacy act? Because you need a pharmacist to actually distribute or dispense the medication. You will find a pharmacist to take that drug. And how are you getting around that? Because I think what we've done over here could be a fantastic system for the rest of South Africa. If you could somehow do this, I know there was a fellow recently from by-election in Cape Town. At the Dallas Elect Mate, he had a bicycle and he was taking it to the start of the and he's run a business on that and he's doing a fantastic job. He's saving a lot of jobs, which people are not using up there quickly. Just in terms of number 14, there's still a lot of illegal claims. I just point one out to you that I know there are where people pretend they have an accident at work. And I'm not sure if you've now managed to put up a system as to how you can assess because it's a pretend accident and then they're claiming as that. And I think that's still a real problem. And I think it's great that number 14 slides, and that you cut down those calls, and I think you cut down a lot of those calls because the number of people, in other words, people are not getting their. You're taking it down from 120 to 25,000. I mean, that's stupendous in the way. That's a fantastic result. And it doesn't mean that less people are getting injured. It means that the system is now working. So you need to put that in highlight. You need to keep lights around it. Slide number 18 on page 9. You've got skilled medical and trans personnel in the labour centres. That's good. I haven't experienced it yet, but maybe when you're doing oversight, maybe care and then have a look at how it's working. But that sounds fantastic as well, because once you've got the people in the actual labour centres, then you can be like a one-stop shop. We can get it done properly and quickly, and then people can get paid out of that. So I thank you for that, and it's fantastic. And thank you, Madam Chair. The legal case management system went live on the 3rd of November 2017. I'm not sure what's happening because there's still some cases going through that you're not aware of. And so maybe we need to have a re-look at that. There are one or two cases where there's no clearance. And I think it might be older cases, and there's no clearance from the fund itself. But I presume you're telling us that that's not going to happen again. If there is a summons that you're going to appear, or someone's going to appear to defend it or settle it, because this is costing governments an enormous amount of money, and the attorneys all rubbing their hands in glee. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, colleagues. Mr. MacArthur, on my side, I was fairly delighted to see progress that has been effected since your appointment. I think the last time you presented an update on the action plan, you indicated that 83% of your performance target has been achieved, and that's been December last year, I think. And today you report that you have progressed to 87% of your identified targets. And certainly the communication that you progress in terms of implementation of the plan. And so the question that I have sort of to pose to you are that today the digital management that what impact implementation of the plan has been regard to your personnel structure and your organogram. I'm sure you the skills audit that you have conducted, people were moved around or people were assigned the responsibilities, etc. And hence the non-completion of the training module, training to support it, enhancing training and development outcomes in your people's management process. But you also had a particular slide, an outcome whereby you say developing a change management framework for the fund. Now, with the restructuring and the implementation of the action plan, certainly it may have had some sort of a impact on the employees. Hence, the development of a change management plan of progress hasn't been implemented, has there's been an indication that relatives did it, hadn't been sort of very taken along, able to deal with the changes that were taking effect within the organization and the impact it had on them. And secondly, at the major restructuring process that we have undertaken since we've taken over the commissioning of FIFA, did you contract any outside consultants to assist in this process and what was the cost if you have contracted any, or were they all sourced in-house and what is the cost to be surprising if you have not contracted outside people to assist you? Furthermore, we had in terms of your presentation a progress to about 87% of implementation of the action plan. But when you envisage, you know, the path to achieve 100%, that would signal the end of the action plan of the plan. But it's very difficult for one to have a definitive into a process that requires continuous assessment and improvement. So how easy is it to say to, you know, this 100% of the pillars and the planned activities, increase 100%, is that the end of the action plan, or have we developed some sort of, always thinking ahead of a maintenance plan beyond that to ensure that the level of service delivery is maintained and improved beyond achieving all the planned activities and the number of initiatives that we've identified? And that's for now. I have another question about the summary of the audit process, the action plan. I don't know, what are the size of the next one, man? Yeah. I don't know if it's just because it doesn't speak to the size I have here. So that's the second last step. And lastly, Madam Chair, is that there were 35 personnel staff members that attended during the course of the process that was supported last year for whatever the surgery sanctions, whatever the case may be. What's the process with regard to that? Well, it's still on suspension, and so it's gone through the surgery process, I'll be back at work.
I would also like to welcome the presentation that's being made by Honorable Mr. Masato. And when I compare, when looking at the last presentation, the last presentation that we received on the 14th of November, I saw that there's a few items that remain stagnant. So I don't know whether it is typographical errors or in the 3 months that was in between that note, whether it was enough to show movement in that area. So if I can have any clarification on that, specifically referring to the findings, the order findings that was reduced from 141 to 89 on the current presentation itself of the same items in November, when looking at the financial management progress in terms of your pillars, I see that from the progress of 7, we are now standing at 6. So if we can just get some clarification there. In terms of your cleaning of long outstanding reconciliation items, I also see it the same as in 2017 November. When looking at your this same chronic medication, you have indicated in November that you are standing at a total of 664 clients that's been serviced, and now you are standing at a total of 676 clients. So there is movement for me, but it's very slow. But I'd like to know, I don't want you to speak to the issue without knowing. Do you have a database on how many patients are on from medication that could benefit from this? Maybe you know that part and then you could actually convince you on that program. Then, Chairperson, there's another area of concern for me. When looking, comparing the previous update of 2017 and looking at the current update, I follow that in some of the presentations, like for instance, they are mentioning the issue of the disabled people, permanent disability mentioned by the numbers and the amount that's been allocated in 2018. But in the previous presentation, there's no mentioning. The reason why I'm mentioning it is I want to compare and see if there's real movement in terms of specific items. So if we are not being updated on a quarterly basis to say that in this quarter, this is what this item is saying, and this is the movement moving quarter by quarter, then it's difficult for me to analyze whether there's a real improvement or not. So if you can have an update on that, or rectify that issue. Then, Chairperson, in terms of the open items, In 2017, the last presentation, it was saying 382, and you've mentioned today that it's still the same, but also indicated that you have some difficulties in addressing that issue. So I would like to know, when are you planning to recommence this process, and by when do you plan to totally eradicate it? Would it be possible by the end of the financial year, or do you need more time? And also, when listening to the previous question by Honorable Dagan, do you have, or perhaps Honorable America, do you have a plan of totally eradicating? You can say, we started here and we plan to reach zero or 100% addressing of the issues by those guys. Or do you, what is happening there? Then, Chairperson, when I look at the chronic medication, I covered that one. Then in terms of your vacancy rate, you've mentioned about the people who in the output in terms of disciplinary cases and what. Do you have a specific number for how many staff members are affected in terms of this currently standing in February 2018? What is your current vacancy rate? And does the staff members or the staff members is not there at home for you, does it have any impact on your service delivery currently? Then, Chairperson, on the progress of your audit action plan 2018, as well as the departmental impairment, I see that there's a lot of items on your progress, your audit action plan, that hasn't, the movement is very slow, so slow or low as 10%, 15%. Do you envisage that you will be able to reach those targets by the end of the financial year, or will it have then a bad reflection on yourself as an entity in the next audit report? Thank you, Chairperson.
Well, thank you very much. It's 110. Well, I've only won 111. I want to explain. So I think we have the report. But no doubt at all that they've done their best to have that implemented. But then when we go into a meeting with the other party, one shall raise a point that there is a very serious problem there, where it is an open secret, of course, that there's about 70 million rand that was not claimed. That ought to have gone to the claimant. Okay? I will arrange that. And that is a very serious problem. Okay? I'll come there. Now, what one will want to know is whether we have that kind of a problem yet. That people were supposed to get that which they claimed, or that which they were supposed to get, but didn't at all. And secondly, the issue of corruption, that permeates, I must say, at the moment, and all of us do know, all the structure of government at the moment. Are we not having that kind of a problem in this? So far, the fund. If you can't put on the back, we'll be able to. You ask me a question, sir, which other fund, and I will be able to is that for me when it comes to that. But even today, like I said, thank you very much.
No, when I ask that,
don't worry.
The last question from me to say, what kind of life to bring that the rest of the world can be inside this thing? In flight 28, you are saying no fear. Why? Because it is no point. Why is it in terms of it? You are reflecting also in place when you are facing the system of medical treatment. To me, that is a special area. On what I want to call it for me, getting the medication or not. So what is keeping your people flow, especially in that particular area? In flight 15, you are speaking to a pilot for RCW, which provinces are currently there. Flight 7, you are dealing with a 60%. To me, that is crucial because it addresses the issue of unemployment. Because anyone who speaks all over when the person is responsible, then it means you are going to retain them in areas where they are going to be useful. Why is your people so important? Lastly, you indicated that you have 1 year to help in this particular office. While I'm saying that, you get the work room to be 5 or 1 in this particular office, or you are having overloaded the staff in this particular office.
Not availing ourselves to comment in the media and start speaking on the things that we do. I think that's one of the things that we're looking at now, so that we can start communicating the work that we do, because we realize that we cannot really outside parties to speak on behalf of funds in terms of the work that we do. So we know that the perception out there are still of the funds, whether it's functional, whether it's backlogged, so this is something that we've moved away from. So we are taking our communication to make sure that we start actively participating in the rest of the community relations to be able to put our messages and where the minister has been given in the community to then be participating in households on those community relations. We can start to the individual that the minister has. The issues of the doctor, that is still a big problem, because we feel that the hospitals don't just start to have a problem now dealing with our clients, but because they're still the same private hospitals, they rely on those doctors that are operating in the hospital. And we have to put the patient that we have, one of the things that we're dealing with is legacy, where people have perceptions about the funds. Those are the perceptions that we're still trying to healthcare workers to make sure that we, and that's also unfortunately that's something that is a long process that requires continuous relations between ourselves and these medical practitioners, and that's something that we are doing. The comment on the court cases, taking with a particular the legislation, the court legislation is such that if a person is not happy, is not satisfied with the outcome of use of a place, the law makes provision for that person to tribunal hearing. And the law says that if the person is not happy with the outcome of the hearing as well, the person may approach the High Court for the matter to be dealt with. And so some of these cases, for example, the specific court case that you're talking about in Devon is the same thing, where a person was not happy with the outcome of the case, then the person chose to go to the court, to have the court look at the matters of the court, rules in good faith, and also reason why he was then implemented the decision of the court. Umetuko is stable, but there is still a lot of control weaknesses within the system that we want to address. Members will recall that when we implemented Umetuko, it was meant to be a pilot project as we moved away from our systems that were leading to the inefficiencies in the fund. So we are now addressing some of those control weaknesses and so on, but we are looking at a long-term solution that will enable us to make sure that all the control weaknesses that are in the current system. So it is a work in progress. I think that the system is stable because we're now able to receive claims, proper claims from patients. But there are other control elements that we need to address, and some of those are the issues that have been raised by the general that we need to look at improving. The issues around the amnesty and so on. One of the challenges we have with employers is the fact that employers don't register. When employers do register, for example, they also don't register in the correct classes, all with the aim of trying to score lower assessment grades. So that's a big problem that we have. And also the fact that a lot of the employers have attempted to register in the past. And with a history of the fund where a registration of an employer would take longer than 12 months, actually that's a disincentive for a lot of employers to want to register with the fund. So when you speak to some employers, they will tell you, but I submitted my form 3 or 4 years ago, and these things have not been dealt with. The CFO spoke about a fee filing project that we launched on the 16th, which is on Friday. We have now developed an online system that will then enable employers to be able to do a registration, submit return of earnings, as well as pay their assessment out of the return of earnings, all in one seamless process. A process that previously would take longer than 12 months to do in terms of registration. An employer will now be able to register and complete the process within 20 days and then be able to submit. We ran a closed pilot with a select group of employers on Friday, and we are now going to go live with the system. Done also going live with the system this particular Friday so that all employers can use it. That, together with the revised assessment model, is one of the things that is going to help us to achieve 3 things. We are going to improve the issues of the quality of work. We hope to make a drive that is going to enable employers to be able to compare whether they registered in the past or they didn't register and so on, so that they can correctly classify themselves. Those that didn't register, we can also then get them to register as one of the projects that we so that we deal with this, with all these issues, both the civil security issues as well as the control issues that have been raised by the agency. So in a way, that will achieve the issue that Honorable Bagrema was talking about around the community. So we are looking at this program that will enable us to do this as well as the register. The issue of getting queries from people that were placed are still not being done. I think that's a continuous process. We still have a lot of people that have submitted claims in the past whose claims have not been dealt with. And that's the nature of the queries that we get currently now, where people will say, I've submitted, and you find that when you do all the claims, the consistent thing is that the claim was never dealt with because there was one or more outstanding documentation. In the compensation fund, the medical report is a key document in dealing with a claim. So you find that in certain cases, the claim has not been finalized because you either not received the first medical report from the treating doctor or you have not submitted the final medical report to enable us to be able to now make a decision on whether a person is permanently disabled or not. Because the nature of the claims are such that once the claim comes in and you get a notification of proceedings from the employer, the first decision is to make a decision whether we're going to accept liability for a claim or not. That decision is important because if we make that decision, we then enable other services to be able to be rolled out for the client in terms of us paying for the medical bills, so on, that will enable the person to eventually get the medical support.
I'm going to support, are we going to do this negative decision? In the extent of the injury that the person has sustained and what are the payouts that the mission has got. That's the nature of the kind of thing that is there. So those are the things that we continuously get. PTSD is a big issue, particularly within the South African police sector. There have been a number of complaints, and some of it has been also some of the officials and some of the affected claimants would then be complaining about it. The fund didn't have any policies or any ways of dealing with PTSD up until now that we started working on this thing, because that was not the kind of illness or disease that would then be ordinarily reported by employers. And it's something, as rightfully said by Honorable Godwin, that is something that has occurred since now the 90s and so on, where you still get a lot of. Previously, because the cases were small and isolated, the fund was able to deal with some of these cases. But now we're starting to see a large number of these claims coming in. And the challenge there, for example, is that at face value, sometimes you end up repudiating some of these claims where you don't agree with the diagnosis as well as so on. And then this then close up the tribunal hearing process because then people then want to object. In this case, unnecessary legal processes that we didn't want to. So that's why we wanted them to be able to bring in professional assistance to be able to deal with these cases as and when they come. We actually have a meeting with SNCS in 2 weeks' time to be able to deal with these things because we get a large number of claims from them with regards to post-traumatic stress disorder. The issue of the chronic medication, how are we coming around the traumatic stress? We contracted an organization that has an official license, that has a traumatic license. So we get the script from the doctor, we then process the script through our systems and send it to the service provider. They will then dispense the medication and deliver it to the client, to the company that has a national footprint. There are still a lot of the legal claims, but one of the benefits of bringing in skilled personnel is that a lot of these claims, because the claim is driven by the doctor's report and the report that the employer submitted. So it's contradicting between what the employer is saying and what the doctor is saying. Those are some of the things that we need to ask the legal and investigation. Some of the things that we need to see, because the employer might be saying this is what has happened. And we may accept liability for the claim in terms of the incident that has happened, but we may not even pay the doctor or finalize the claim if what the doctor is speaking is contrary to what the employer has said. So those are some of the things that are one of the ways that we deal with some of the legal claims. Whereas in the past, for example, if you didn't have personnel, if you asked me as an accountant for legal or by medical claim, I would accept anything as long as it shows that this person is legal, but if you get someone with health care-related qualifications, those are the things that are going to apply to our claims to make sure that we avoid dealing with some of these illegal claims. The impact of the implementation of the structure, we are implementing the structure, and I think the issue that was raised by Honorable America on the training, that's a continuous thing because we've identified the gap. Some of the interventions that require, because we said the police audit, for example, indicated that the key skills that we need in the fund is traditional management skills, health or medical related skills, as well as some of the actuarial skills that we need. So to get these skills, we are adopting a two-pronged approach. Recruiting people with those mental issues when they're vacancies, but either existing staff, we then have to incentivize the staff to be able to apply for whether they can do long-term training on their basic skills, which are the financial management courses. So that's a long-term process. We haven't really tried to move people around as much, because a lot of the people actually moved around where you different for life, where you move people from head office to the provincial office and the other countries where you different for life. In 2014. When we did the restructuring, we did not use any external parties. Our HR and organizational development team
they did a good job of making sure that we do the right benchmark and then come up with a structure that we're going to be able to be able to respond to our clients' needs. We initially, the action plan was meant to be a 2.5-year plan, because while it's first to address one of the things we did when we did the analysis of the challenges of the fund was that there was the basics were not put in place. There were no basics in place. So to measure the items, yes, it's the basic issue that we needed to put in place that we did not have in the fund. And we said, as opposed to coming with a grand plan of all the nice things that we want to do, maybe let's focus first on the basics as the first phase of the turnaround. And then the next phase would then be looking at, now that the basics are in place, what is it that we do then to accelerate the rate of service delivery, as well as dealing with some of the administrative inefficiencies that were highlighted by the auditors and others. We plan to complete the all the activities in the action plan by end of June. The big item that still remains not done, for example, is issues around the dealing with all the backlogs that we have. The assessment model, which is a big policy change that we made. Those are some of the things that we hope to finalize by the end of June, though with assessment mode, we finalize it end of June, but we can only implement it 1st of April 2019 because it must coincide with the season for submission of performance payments. So the 6 months gap is in the middle after that, I think we're ready to get change and even effort for the 2 months.
related to the audit. It's one of the last questions that we asked. The issues in the audit, if you look at it, most of them are the things that we are addressing with these long-term projects. The visa situation that we've got, pre-filing projects. These are all long-term projects that are only now keeping doing now. The framework on revenue and, for example, on common sense employment, the things that we may not get away from in the current financial year. That's why we've been taking to say that the number of issues that are now a problem, we need to start systematically reducing those issues so that we, over time, then be able to eliminate all these findings and the problems that we have altogether. Not all our clients end up with chronic medication. We started the pilot project with the chronic medication plan because of a small number that we have. The compensation fund currently has about 28,000 pensioners. These are the people that we pay pension monthly. Not all of those are on chronic medication. Some of them are on pension, but they are getting assistive devices and so they don't really require chronic medication. Out of those, only about 600 or so are on chronic medication. That's the reason why we chose that group to pilot this particular differential of medication. It was a small number, like many of them. So that's why we said, as part of the next phase, we now want to look at, can we do it for all our clients? Even those that are on acute medication, where they get injured now and are released from hospital, but they need medication for some time, they need to get back to good health. We want to bring those. When we start bringing those, that's when we see a big number. Because if you look at last financial year, we processed about 165,000 claims. More than 90% of those we were people who then have gotten medication. We apologize for the number that we can show on the family disability. We actually, because we're coming towards the end of this action plan, we revised our reporting template so that we can start talking about the impact of this, so that we don't only talk about the progress that we've made in completing the activities. Okay, now that we've done it, what is the impact of that? That's why we're starting to show a lot of these numbers now. So we apologize that we didn't show the previous number as well, but we'll make sure that's consistent in our own report. We just say this number consistent. And it's the open item. We actually going back into the old system, looking for claims that we have not finalized, so that we can then bring them into the new system and finalize. One of the things that we find, why those numbers make sense, is that in some of the cases you may find that the employees they're supposed to go back to go look for their claims. You don't take the documentation and you open a new claim on the computer because at the time you said we didn't give you the claim because just reported and you've never dealt with. So we have had to deal with it. We recently had made a deal with people with SAP. And one of the objectives of doing that was that so that we can be able to then start going back to old SAP to go look for the claim. So that if we claim them now we avoid the situation claim that we would have claimed in the past. These are probably going to be taking a bit too slow to be completed, but that's something that we're keeping a bit more important on to make sure that we eliminate all these items. When we report for the next report, we will show some improvement in dealing with this claim. I just wanted to, when we have a plan, we have a plan by end of the year, we have to keep it for the plan, but we then, so these are the basics. Now we need to now look at how do we then put together a plan that will change and improve the business of the fund going forward. The number of people affected by the cut in the vacancy rate, with the structure now, it moved our vacancy rate to about 23%. Because in the revised structure, what we did, we looked at the gaps in our structure. We did not have a unit that manages our pensioners, for example. Our pensioners were just a number on the 25th. That we remember on the 25th when we generate the pension payout. No proactive plan to manage the needs of the pensioners and making sure that they get the pension from time and any other places, for example, that they need. So we've now created a pension unit that we need to start from scratch. We created the rehabilitation unit that is going to focus on rehabilitation and reintegration. We didn't have any of the allied healthcare workers, for example, the physiotherapy, educational therapy, counselor, that are able to interact with clients that are coming from this particular province. We need to make sure that our clients are getting the right service. We don't just pay for the service service rendered to clients that are in benefit plans at all. So that was one of the objectives why we found this platform. We created additional code that had not been created before. In the structure prior to this, for example, we only had nurses, occupational health nurses that are going to be case coordination, only medical doctors that are there. But we didn't have any of the other professionals that we interact with that are assisting our clients that are able to look at the head there. So that's what those are the differences that we created. We started as an initiative, we started implementing the personnel to get a lot of, we have a lot of officials that started already in social employed in August. And we have other senior managers that are starting in the 1st of March, others in the 1st of April and so on. And we continue to build the rest of the structure. And we are hopeful that with the structure implemented, for example, we will then be able to touch on the, because we have not really done service to our clients, because we dealt with their issues from a point of no knowledge, and whether they are getting the right service or the right treatment from your medical service provider or from the employer, that's something that we weren't always sure of. So the structure is going to help us to get there. The percentages on the action plan are a bit low, and the CFO is explained, for example, some of the things are those big things, like on revenue, those are long-term projects that we're going to do, but some of the issues were, for example, the AG will only be able to touch what a project will be made at the end of the financial year. We will receive it at the end of the year, and then we can then come to the end of the week and actually work or not. So we should start seeing progress. In fact, the auditor general audited our action plan in September last year. We got a report now in November, for example, where they made some suggestions for improvement for some of the things. So we started now the process to define an action plan to address a lot of the gaps that the auditor general has identified. We have a problem of unclaimed funds per se, because we, for example, we offer the pension act and allow the required to make a provisional, an actuarial provision for future expenses of our pension, and we say that provision is put on our balance sheet. So a lot of the reserves that we collected is kept for pension, for the future provision for our pension. We also make provision for any claim that may have been incurred in the workplace that has not been reported yet, or that has been incurred, reported, but waiting for information. So all those provisions we make in our financial. So we have catered for all those. The Honorable Chair, the issue on the slide 28. The percentage is that shows the progress of how far we are in dealing with the audit findings. The audit findings, for example, in medical claims, there were some audit findings on the performance information, the physical information, around that particular indicator that the AG has. And this is mainly relating to the way that we keep our evidence for the claim, for the report that we provide. So the percentage just shows the progress that has been made in dealing with the particular indicator, not necessarily with the percentage of performance. Because if you remember, when we presented the quarter performance, quarterly performance report 2, the committee 3 weeks ago, we showed that we were sitting at around 95% of the indication of medical around 1995 as a medical surgeon. And the return to work pilot, we have now recently approved the policy and the strategy, the business approved the policy and return to work and rehabilitation. What we've been doing is on a select basis where we pilot, because we've appointed now occupational therapists in all provinces that are doing some form of case management on our clients that are using assistive devices and so on. So in all the provinces now that we're selectively doing a lot of case management, we have employed medical case coordinators. We are also now trying to get to do medical case work. So this is in all 9 provinces. The issue of multi-skilling, when we decentralized the compensation fund a few years ago, people were decentralized to different provinces, but not all of them, for example, were people working on claims or on medical claims and so on. Others were in registry staff. So to get them to be able to do the work that we do, we then had to retrain them on adjudication of claims, adjudication of medical claims. So those are that's the ongoing ones that we're doing now. So we have teams that go to several provinces. When we report our quarterly performance, when we see performance is dropping, for example, we then go back and do the retraining to those staff to make sure that we can be able to then deal with the adjudication of a normal claim, adjudication of a medical claim. And the one medical doctor to province, the doctors went with support for every medical doctor that we. First of all, we're competing with the University of the Health of this research. It has proved to be a 3-year journey just to get the 9 doctors that we have in the provinces. And at the office, we currently employ about 4 doctors. So that has taken us almost 3 years just to get these doctors on board. But they work with a team. In the provincial office, for example, you have the medical doctor who is the head of compensation fund, and reporting to the doctor who has a disability manager who is an occupational therapist, and in the labor center we then have the case coordinator and medical case administrator, occupational health manager. The numbers aren't enough, but the intention is also not to have a big population of this customer because we don't want to create a problem in other sectors. We need robust systems that will enable us to be able to have these medical professionals using those systems to deal with the claim. In the revised structure, for example, we created additional positions for some of these personnel. That will then help support the work that happens in the province. So we are confident that if we implement the new structure, we implement the system, we will provide the medical capacity for all the provinces.
Any follow-up questions, members?
Mr. Chair, the third follow-up question is just that the comment is that if in the TV sector there is department or portfolio of the Department of Labor, and we must commend the enthusiasm and skill that the Commissioner Mafata has embraced with feeling for this responsibility. And so this is a little comment, and we from our side and our colleagues who will be infinitely content with the work of the Commissioner Mafata. Although things may not be perfect yet, they may never be perfect, but good progress has been made, and we are looking forward to the discussion that we can have. Thank you.
That is that person must be compensated. It can be that if that is a serious and honest mistake, so there's no compensation for this person. You can't have an employee who is in that language. So I put the bridge is because one could check on why was it said like that on TV, because we said that department you are supposed to be forced to work out. They have no way.
My daughter got the email from them. When it's taking Christian religion to a certain in the constitution that I'm using
the right to open.
Is there something like that? I think we've done the basic.
Program members, but what I want before we go to discussion, can you possibly update the meeting? Remember the last time we agreed that we'll issue an advert for the legislation for public comment. Has that happened? And when was this one? When is this so as you need members to be able to see whether they want to make any amendments?
Thank you, Chair. And this was agreed that after submitting an application to
when looking at the program, seeing that the date of the advert will be finishing on the 15th of March, I would propose that when I look at our timeline, I see that from the 3rd to the 16th, the Parliament is arriving on the 29th of March. And from the 3rd to 16th as well, the constituency meeting, which may put us in a little bit of a predicament in terms of the proposed implementation date of the 1st of May. So I would like to request the indulgence of the committee members and propose that, seeing that we have the closing date of the advert on the 16th of March, that we request special permission to meet on the Monday, the 19th of March. Reason being, for us to get an indication of what has been achieved through the advert, to see whether there's a need for a public hearing or not, whether we only receive requests for, or whether we only receive submissions, written submissions, whether we receive proposals for oral submissions. And then I would second the draft of the proposed date from 22nd to the 23rd of March, so that we can look where we stand and then do an assessment on our way forward in terms of the national minimum wage. Taking into consideration, Chairperson, that the 21st of March is Human Rights Day. So most probably majority of the members will be in the constituency. Therefore, I request that on the 22nd of March, we start at about 12:30 to allow members to travel, and then on the 23rd of March, we can meet them in the morning at our
agreement with what the Honourable Van Gogh has referred, except the Monday on the 19th. That's a consistent today, and we will be not consistent if we will not be available to meet.
Another petition.
I'm not sure what the suggestion really was, that we shouldn't have come to meeting for the one.
This is probably one of the most seminal pieces of legislation that our Parliament, the first Parliament, can go to. It's probably the most important for us to do that. And to try and do away with public hearing would be absolutely ridiculous. The bottom line is that the problem is challenging in the court. If it is challenging in the court, we wouldn't take part of the input on this. And can you imagine us trying to explain, although we didn't get any response to an advert that's taking a ton of time, so therefore we decided to take it. I think that passage was clearly wrong and illegal. So thank you. Thank you. So if I can amend it here and there, you are proposing that the content advisor and the researcher assist us by making online summary so that we meet on the 19th at the committee. We look at their summary of input, but also the input are going to be available to us as members of the committee. Having seen that, we set aside the hours we have from 12 or half past 12 on the 22nd to the 23rd for public hearing. After we have looked at what the submissions are, it's only then that we can be able to start a new forward. So I don't think he was actually running out the issue of public hearing. But remember also as a committee, when we were dealing with the previous bill, we said submissions should be in a position to determine whether they are directing us to go to public hearing or not. Let's, for instance, put here two scenarios. We get a hand-drawn response from the public out of, I'm sorry, a sizable number of submissions from the public out of pressure. And none of the people who have made submissions are saying they request an opportunity to come to do oral presentation over and above. Then as a committee, you are supposed to sit and determine whether after having received the sizable response, then to the venue for public hearing. Scenario two is to get the sizable number, and there are members that are requested to go and make oral presentation over and above the submission. That's also warrants public hearing. So I want to repeat that at this stage, can we then, that for one, sacrifice that constituency day to the 19th and come to the meeting, and then we'll see how we take the process. I bring it back to you. Honorable Matusha, because we have a new voice, and Honorable Baker. New voice on the matter.
Oh, okay. Okay. How do you think that we don't agree? We've got to go and But on the matter that you are doing, the people need to know. Now, between today and the 19th, we have four. And we can go on the preparation, etc. And on the day of the vote today, the issue that was discussed in the instead of us starting with the meeting, if the contrary is the case, there is still submission as we put it, and the issue was not considered, has not been arrived or completed, then we take one of the days, but not the Monday. All right? For example, the meeting. Okay. How about the 16th? Is it in the morning?
Okay.
I don't want the 16th or yeah. I mean that is not due on that day. But then before. And like initially had proposed the 14th. But then if number three is that way. Let's look at another day as long as we can see the number.
If we discuss any time before 15 hours, we may close out one because some people only ask for the time. So let us afford everything. That is why we were meeting.
Then let's go to the 20. 20. 20. 5 of 10. Okay. We can go to the 20. For the 25th.
I'm explaining that this is incredibly important. We don't underestimate the importance of this legislation. It's not a small amendment to the conditions of the Employment Act. It might affect a few people. It can affect the entire South Africa. And if we have to explain afterwards somewhere else that we decided, because the submissions were rather thin, we decided not to have public hearings, I don't want to be one of those people that has to explain. I want to record it in the minutes that I'm very much against that. And if this committee by majority is going to say we're going to do away with public hearings, I'd be very interested to hear what the NCRC has to say about that. And in fact, at the end of the day, what our friends have to say. I understand the big one rush and online what happens in the it's important that we go through the proper process of procedure and that we follow procedure to introduce this. point of order.
No, I'm saying the point of order because honorable people was going on a wrong set and on record. Somebody might think that he's correct. He's where I'm thinking he's wrong. But
regardless of what happens, we're going to have public hearings. Thank you.
And I therefore would like to humbly continue my other colleagues to consider Monday the 19th, looking at the fact that we are going to be pressed with that. Honorable Donation.
We know for a fact that conflict days are very, very committed days, but we are really having a lot of things in the way you think it is good for one. We want to do nothing to hear from our side, to the committee and how best we want to make sure that we can make our own plan. One and a half days for the public hearing, which is from 12:30 on again the second for the whatever hours I was living on the 21st. We understand the process we are getting in with a rough one. It needs us to move to the collective. It does not warrant that for us to agree as a committee. We is correct to raise our views, but at least there should be a stage where we reach each other so that at least when we are moving with this process, we are moving as a collective. We must all remember that this has something to do with the workers and we are all talking about the fate of the workers. Honorable members, anyone wants to come back?
Thank you, Madam Chair. What decision do we have to take on the 19th? Do we have to do anything? Or
today we respond to be able to run the further say that we, through you, as a person, that supposed to be in the middle, uniting, consider the position that we both have to then think about that, so that at the end you are then able to say to us, yes, there is a problem that you are faced with. Please go ahead and tell us about that chapter. But make sure that you are all okay. But I must emphasize that indeed needs to be indicated that there is a problem. Thank you.
I hope we are not setting a precedent of saying a Monday is a no go. Because the work we do here is the work that we are directed by our budget to do, saying as what we'll be doing in the constituency. Because what we are going to do is going to affect our constituencies in one way or another. The ones we are saying we want to go to on Monday. Having said that, thinking that there is war on this issue of Monday, can we then say on the 22nd, the public hearing will start, can start at 2, 12:30 to 1:30. Let's say we have our meeting, or say to order to do, we have our meeting, so that the public hearing starts at 2:00, and then we continue on Friday. Because what I would not love to see happening is a situation where we as a committee get these submissions, we don't even have a look at them as a collective squad to go to public hearing. Because as we are listening to the resignations in the public hearing, at least we should have a background and also on what has been contextualized by the content advisor. That was the basis for us to meet on a Monday. So I'm coming with that proposal now. I want 22nd, 12:30. Or we can even take it to 12:00. Okay. 12:30 on 22nd. I'm summarizing, but I'm going to send them out of order. 12:30 on Thursday. 2:00 we start with the public hearing. Then we continue with the public hearing on the 22nd. Honorable America, the What we are discussing is part of the program that was presented to us in another community. So we have a community, we have a right to change what is contained on paper. We are still discussing what is within this paper. The public hearing we are talking about are the ones that are going to become national communities based on the submission. Honorable Madisha.
Just as an idea for that. And that, in my opinion, does cover. And we will be available then to attend the meeting. And I hope the other members can agree with us. Thank you very much.
Honorable
Bank,
Honorable
Bernard,
the Honorable Bernard,
the
second the proposal that has been initiated by yourself and by Honorable Madisha of the 22nd to the 23rd for our statement of the input that has been made through the advertisement, starting at 12:30 on the 22nd and then proceed for the public hearing from 14 hours on the 22nd. Because remember, it can't be that bad to say that the public hearing is how we can extend and innovation to the business. Honorable Baker, any other hand? Honorable Baker, please.
Thank you.
I like this because when you speak of business, you don't say business, you mention but with the force of federation, you may not go on the same day. Can you mention that?
Well,
But then, kindly, could you go and check, and then so that we remember we ourselves here need to look into the unity of the working class, the poor, and the business, and so on. We are at the center, and if you look at the business, I mean, you in particular come from the trade union movement, and they do understand all the things. So let's make sure that we don't have that kind of battle.
We don't want to set a precedent of asking members if they want to be asked. It has never happened, so we have not started. Because our people who would love to be yes are supposed to be part of the commission of the if they are not part. We are not going to chase anyone out. Inform your friends if a pair, there's no problem with that. So that they are part of this, but in terms of presentation, if we want to finish the work that we are doing, we can't have an open-ended list. Honorable Commission members,
for as long as those precedents will take us forward in what we want to see. Well, what we don't want to have is a lot of noise for people saying we have a consensus of which we think we must be recognized for. But also we cannot take individuals at the expense of the commission for us to come in. If we can just balance that and have that, I don't think we have a problem such as we will be doing this for longer. But also, secondly, if we can also look at the issue of formation at national level, once we start to get into provinces and so on, we can create problems. So we rather call for money to national commission, which we are a chamber of business that are organized, let them come in that session, and let them be a national commission. Because we cannot take people away. I don't think there's a thing we can manage that in the office. And even before we get the meeting that we have just discussed in the before, by the time we get there, we'll get a plan on what we have before. And we'll be able to prepare ourselves and make ourselves. But also, the administration must have the issue of the where we are going to get in, that is the kind of the size, those are two administration sites. But we don't have our JPLF, for instance, coming with their numbers, and sometimes we don't have a way to accommodate. We love them so much. October, you must look at the issues of how many people do you expect to go to talk to parties, also talk to the contribution that you're going to see, because we're looking for an outcome that has come out far quite earlier than the first of May. Thank you. This means public hearing and the budget review was on the
process.
Okay.
So I just wanted to say, because particularly came back to the communication of the agency of the budget review, we need to bring the designation through it because it seems that we're now rushing with the public hearing and try to spot dates that we have in the program without knowing whether, we can do that and kick it down the road and still have it approved in time. Maybe we can decide it. And then lastly, in terms of who ought to be invited, and I think that maybe we need to put up an advert out there inviting people who want to personally or organization who personally want to come make the presentation at the public hearing instead of the time well favored the others.
Thank you. Thank you.